Binabati ko kayo mga kapatid at mga kaibigan sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo in our long series on the subject of Christian holiness in our Sunday school. We are breaking a new ground in our lecture today. And this is more of a cry that we often utter because of our concern for holiness, and that can be expressed as, why can't I stop sinning? Gusto ko lang sabihin that this is a subject of a very delicate nature that needs very balanced handling, because maaari tayong mahulog sa isang extreme or the opposite, and it is of the matter of utmost importance that we stick to the scriptures as far as insight and attitudes are concerned. Ang bagay na ito na palagay ko lahat ng may tunay na may hangaring maging banal ay ating isinasamo, itinatangis, why can't I stop sinning, ay dala ng kung ano talaga ang likas ng kabanalan. What is the true nature of holiness? We can of course derive that from the holiness of God. When we say that God is holy, it means that God is free from sin and is in opposition to every sin. Malaya siya sa kasalanan at laban siya sa lahat ng uri ng kasalanan. If there is no other text, this should be sufficient enough to emphasize that. In Habakkuk 1 verse 13, your eyes are too pure to look at evil. You cannot look on wickedness. And by looking here means looking of complacency or looking of satisfaction. When he looks at sin, it is always a look of wrath, a look of fury, and of opposition against sin. And therefore, the Christian who patterns his holiness after God, his holiness will have a positive and negative side. May positibo at may negatibo na bahagi sa kabanalan ng isang mananampalataya. Our concern in this section of our study is on the negative side. Holiness in the negative means opposition to every sin. Ang isang tunay na nagpapakabanal ay kinakailangang lumalaban sa lahat, sa bawat isang kasalanan. At yan ang magiging dahilan na tayo ay tumatangis sa bagay na ito, why can't I stop sinning, sa isang simpleng katotohanan. Sin is a constant reality, a constant presence in the believer's life. Lagi yan ay realidad. Yan ay nasa presensya natin. Ang kasalanan hindi mawaglit sa atin. Ang katotohanan ng kasalanan kahit pa tayo ay ligtas kay Heso Kristo. Apostle Paul himself makes this, in fact, a statement that he utters several times or writes several times in Romans chapter 7, sin that dwells in me. That's how he explains himself, his own conduct, the fact that sin still dwells in us, or what others call remaining sin. May nananatiling kasalanan pa rin sa atin. Now, there have been many wrong attempts to solve this predicament. Why should we be considered believers in union with Christ and holy, and yet sin still dwells in me? Paano mo lulutasin ang ganyang palaisipan? Some believe in the possibility of perfection now. Gusto nila at naniniwala sila na maaring nang maging sakdal at walang kasalanan ngayon pa lamang sa buhay na ito. One such preacher was John Wesley. Although to his credit, he never claimed perfection for himself, but he pointed to some people he thought had attained perfection only to walk back on some of them. At ito ang isang paniniwala ng ilan ngayon. And then, there is that other version of perfectionism, but not quite perfectionism in full. While denying perfectionism, some hold to a higher life. And that is the name it is known by, higher life position. Ang paniniwala nito, you can be free from struggles with sin. Some will say, no conscious sin or victorious life, basta't wala kang pakikipaglaban na kailangan sa kasalanan. Sa kabilang panig ay naroon ang mga naniniwala that they accept the impossibility of sinlessness now. Now, this is the correct position. We cannot attain sinlessness at this time, but for many who hold to this position, it leads to quite a wrong attitude. And that is, it leads them to normalizing what they consider acceptable sinfulness. Kung hindi naman pala tayo makararating sa kalagayang walang kasalanan, tanggapin na lamang natin ang ating kasalanan. So you can see both sides and two opposite attitudes when it comes to the reality and presence of sin in the believer's life, and how should we address this predicament? Now, Christian holiness should reflect, and it reflects Christ's fulfillment in His two comings. Alam niyo, isa ito sa mga susi sa pag-unawa ng bagong tipan, kung paano nito ginagamit ang mga nasa lumang tipan, ang kanilang paniniwala na ang katuparan nito ay nasa dalawang pagparito ng Panginoon. So there is the first coming, there is the second coming. You can apply this to just about every doctrine of the New Testament, and you certainly can apply this to sanctification or holiness. A good text that shows this is Titus 2:11 and following, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." Pansinin ninyo ang referensya dito sa dalawang appearances, two appearings. Yung una ay nangyari na in verse 11, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. It has already happened and its effects are continuing." But in verse 13, it shows that we are still looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So makikita natin na meron ditong dalawang appearing na tumutugma sa ating pagtuturo ng bagong tipan, na merong first coming, ang unang pagparito ng Panginoon, at lulubusin niya sa kanyang ikalawang pagparito. Sa kanyang unang pagparito, the first coming, ay masasabi nating may mga bagay na narito na already. Dahil sinabi rito, "Because He has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously." So may mga bago nang nangyari sa buhay dahil sa unang pagparito ng Panginoon sa sinumang sumasampalataya sa Kanya. Pero naghihintay pa rin tayo sa second coming, therefore there are things that are not yet. When the second coming happens, we are told in verse 14, He will redeem us from every lawless deed and purify us for Himself. So sa makatuwid, doon pa lang mangyayari ang kalubusan ng ating kabanalan, na kung saan wala na lahat ng kasalanan at magiging sakdal na ang ating kabanalan. Ngunit hindi mangyayari yon until the second coming. Now, meanwhile, we live in the interim. The first coming inaugurates the new creation. So there is a righteous life now that derives from the cross and the resurrection of Christ, His ascension, and He is now the ruling King, although He has not yet returned to consummate everything that He has done. Pero sa isang mananampalataya na kalakip na kay Jesucristo, meron na siyang buhay na matuwid, buhay na nagpapakabanal, bagamat hindi pa kumpleto. The second coming will consummate the new creation. Ang ikalawang pagparito ang maghuhusto ng bagong nilalang. At sa bagong nilalang na lulubusin ang Panginoon sa kanyang ikalawang pagparito, there will be complete redemption from sin. So even now, there is righteousness but not complete. At the second coming, it will be consummated and there will be complete redemption from sin. So what does it mean to our attempt to live a holy life? The Christian life is lived in the interim, dun sa kalagitnaan of the already now, which creates the righteous life, and the not yet, which means we are still dealing with sin. We are still sinning. Yan ang katotohanan, yan ang doktrina na dapat magbigay ng liwanag sa ating pagpapakabanal ngayon at magbibigay ng kasagutan sa ating itinatanong, why can't I stop sinning? Now, what are the implications for Christian holiness? Well, unang-una, the believer has the beginning of holiness. Nagkaroon na ng pagsisimula sa kanya, ang kabanalan. Huwag mong isipin na ito ay nakay Hesukristo lamang, itinatago niya hanggang sa siya'y pumaritong muli. Ngayon pa lamang ay binabaan na tayo ng kabanalan na nakay Hesukristo, kaya't nakapamumuhay tayo dapat ng may kabanalan, which means the Christian, the believer, must cultivate and must grow in holiness because it is a present reality, a present gift because of the first coming of Jesus Christ. However, holiness will only be made perfect in the consummation. Magiging sakda lamang sa paghuhusto na mangyayari sa ikalawang pagparito ng Panginoon. Now that means reject false promises and deluded claims. Ang mga mapanlinlang na pangako at ang mga uri ng pag-aangkin na walang katotohanan na sila'y sakdal na, yan ang mga uri na dapat nating tanggihan sapagkat sinasabi niya na hindi na kailangan ang ikalawang pagparito ng Panginoon sapagkat magiging sakdal na tayo sa buhay na ito. A very good text that balances these two realities, two sides of the balance is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So, pansinin ninyo na meron ditong sinasabi, you should not sin. That's an imperative. Do not sin. Then, it concedes the reality that there will be still sinning. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So, ang makukuha natin na implikasyon nito, we must balance the imperative of ought and the reality of can't. And this is where I say the balance is very delicate because we can go to one extreme of underscoring the ought to the dismissal of the can't, or we emphasize the can't to the utter belittling of the ought of holiness. Kaya bigyang halaga at puwang natin ang dalawang panig na ito sa ating pagharap sa katotohanan ng kasalanan. Balancing ought and can't, we need to stress with the strongest emphasis the imperative we ought not to sin. Hindi yan option na hopefully we could not sin. The rule remains we ought not to sin. God did not lower His standard just to accommodate us to a point where we can have some sins and those sins will be acceptable. There is no such teaching in the Bible, not in the New Testament. Rather, the standard remains as Jesus puts it in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:48, be perfect, therefore as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You can see here that there is no lowering of the perfect standard. At kung sino man ay mag-aakala na kahit papano ito'y ibinaba, ang sinabi ay, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And you simply ask how perfect God is, He is perfect without any sin. And that is the kind of perfection that we are challenged to pursue in this present life. And another is 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Ang ginamit na verb tense dyan ay continuing present. Ang ibig sabihin, hindi ka nagpapatuloy. Hindi sinasabi rito na hindi na nagkakasala ang isang ipinanganak ng Diyos, kung hindi siya nagpapatuloy sa kasalanan. So, this is similar to the standard of perfection, but here, it is put on the level of the real life that the Christian lives, even though he is still sinning, it is his pursuit. that he will not continue on sinning. As I always put it, as you have heard me say it many times, perfection is pursuable but not attainable in this life. Maari nating hanapin, maari tayong magsikap para sa kasakdalan, ngunit hindi natin mararating sa buhay na ito. So, when we make this a strong emphasis in the way we pursue holiness, that we ought not to sin, then that means there is no acceptable sin or an acceptable level of sinfulness. Walang kasalanan na pwede nang tanggapin dahil wala namang perpekto o isang uri ng pagkamakasalanan na maari nang tanggapin. Hindi maari yon sa buhay ng pananampalataya. The reality of sin instead will yield a cry of what I call sanctified despair. You see this in the Apostle Paul upon reflecting on the reality of sin that still dwells in him. He utters the cry in Romans 7 verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Let me tell you this, if the reality of sin that you accept in your life does not bring you to this utterance of a despairing cry, your acceptance of sin is a very dangerous and perilous attitude. Hindi ganito ang ating saloobin sa kasalanan. Hindi ito magiging katanggap-tanggap at walang uri ng pagkamakasalanan na pwede nating sabihin, pwede na yun. This will always bring a wretched cry of why can't I stop sinning? So avoiding sin is an imperative but not assertive of perfection now. So ito'y iniuutos, pamantayan, nararapat, pero walang magsasabi na siya'y makararating o nakarating sa pagkasakdal ng kanyang pamumuhay. That is one side of the balance. We ought not to sin. You cannot deal with sin unless you have this ought in your Christian life. But now we go to the other side, and that is we can't stop to sin. Hindi natin mahihinto ang kasalanan sa buhay na ito, sa panig na ito ng bago dumating ang ating Panginoong Hesukristo. And the Apostle Paul depicts this rather in a graphic and biographical fashion in Romans chapter 7. You're familiar with the passage, and in verses 18 and 19, Paul depicts it in this way, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." Makikita nyo both the sin of omission and the sin of commission nangyayari kay Pablo, bagamat nandun yung kanyang kalooban na huwag magkasala, nagkakasala siya. At yan ang nangyayari sa isang mananampalataya. Now this passage, this mysterious passage of Romans 7:14 following has led to different interpretations. Dahil nga parang nagkakaroon ng contradiction sa paningin ng iba, kaya sino ang tinutukoy dito ni Pablo sa kanyang mga sinabi? Is this the unregenerate? Ito ba'y tumutukoy sa hindi mananampalataya? At hindi ko matatanggap ang ganyang interpretasyon sapagkat ang nagsasalita dito na ipinapalagay natin ay si Pablo. He is thankful for Jesus Christ. That's verses 24 and 25. Nalala niyo ang cry na who shall deliver me from this body of death? Sinundan ninyo ng I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is a man thankful for Christ that despite his continuing sin, Christ is still his Savior. You cannot say that of the unregenerate. On the other hand, is this the carnal Christian? Yan naman ang sinasabi ng ibang mga nagtuturo na may mga Kristiyanong nasa kanya si Kristo at pupunta sa langit kapag namatay, pero ang buhay niya ay walang pagkakaiba sa mga taong hindi mananampalataya, ay hindi rin totoo ito sapagkat this man delights in the law inwardly. I delight in the law of God in the inner man, he says in verse 22. Now, that's not the carnal Christian, at least in the way it is described in the classic position of the carnal Christian theory. Ang tamang sagot dito ay ang ganitong karanasan ay ang karanasan ng isang normal na Kristiyano na nakikipaglaban sa kasalanan. This is the normal Christian from the reality of continuing struggle. Kaya hindi ito unregenerate, hindi ito carnal Christian. This is the normal Christian life looked from the angle of struggle, continuing struggle with sin. Mararanasan nating lahat ang katotohanan yan. So what I want to say of this side of we can't stop to sin is that consciousness of sin cultivates contrition not to justify complacency. Ang kamalayan natin ng kasalanan ay dapat na maglinang ng kabagbagan, ng pagsisisi, hindi para maging maluwag tayo at magwalang bahala sa kasalanan. Yan ang dalawang panig na dapat nating panatilihin na balanse. Mawalang isa dyan, ikaw ay mahuhulog sa isang maling katuruan na maglilinlang sa iyo. Kaya kung mabalanse natin ang dalawang bagay na yan, na we ought not to sin as the standard, we can't stop to sin as reality, may tatlong bagay na tinatawag kong doctrinal practical insights para sa pagsasabuhay ng dalawang panig ng bagay na ito. Ang una, possess an assured justification. Gusto ko lang ipaliwanag, justification is the theological word that has come down to us, but it simply means the acquittal of guilt by faith in Jesus Christ. Hindi na tayo nasa katayuan ng may sala sa hukuman ng Diyos. Pinawalang sala tayo kay Hesukristo kasama dyan ang pagpapatawad sa lahat nating mga kasalanan. Hindi dahil sa uwi na lang bahala ng Diyos ang kasalanan, kundi inilagay niya kay Hesukristo ang legal na pananagutan ng ating kasalanan at siya ang sumagot sa bagay na ito. At yan ang justification, and it is important that we pursue holiness from an assured justification. Yan ang sabi ng Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So yung paglakad natin sa Espiritu, hindi na sa kahatulan ng batas, ay bunsod ng ating katiyakan na wala na tayong hatol dahil kay Hesukristo. So we pursue holiness not in the fear of condemnation, and condemnation is the opposite of justification. Yung sinabing no more condemnation, that is just the negative side of saying we are justified, we have justification in Christ. Bakit napakahalaga nito na umpisahan natin ang ating pagsulong sa kabanalan na meron ng katiyakan? Because assurance that evokes gratitude is greater compulsion than fear. Ang paniniwala ng iba, kailangan may takot ka na baka ka mapunta sa impyerno, maparusahan ka ng Diyos, kaya't magpapakasikap ka na magpakatuwid para baka sakaling kalugdan ka ng Diyos. Samantalang ang dapat na motibo ay kinalugdan na ng Diyos ang lahat ng kalakip kay Hesukristo alang-alang sa kanyang anak, at sila'y tinatanggap alang-alang din sa kanyang anak. Kaya't ang kanilang pagsisikap sa katuwiran ay bilang bunga ng may pagpapasalamat sa napakagandang pagpapala na kanilang tinanggap kay Hesukristo. Ang ikalawang doctrinal practical insight, persist in focused mortification. Magpatuloy ka sa nakatutok na pagpatay sa kasalanan. And what is mortification? It is the process of putting sins to death. Putting to death means it comes to a point that it terminates in your practice. It no longer dominates your thought. Diyan mangyayari na you have mortified sin. At ang sabi ng Colossians 3 verse 5, put to death therefore what is earthly in you. And now notice that Apostle Paul does not put it there in general. He pursues it in specific terms: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The ineffectiveness in dealing with sin is often due to lack of focus on specific sins. Kaya doon sa nagtatanong, why can't I stop sinning? We will have time to consider when sin becomes a habit, or what others may call addiction. But when it becomes a habit, why you cannot stop it is many times because you are not focused on mortifying that particular habit of sin. Foresight of how to avoid sin and the occasions leading to sin is requisite. Kailangan na may paunang tingin ka na sa mangyayari. Yan ang sinabi ng Romans 13:14. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. Yung salitang provision, literally, ay foresight. You look forward to what is going to be your temptation and make a plan, a rehearsal, so to speak, of how to avoid occasions and the falling into sin na alam mong yun ang iyong kahinaan, karupukan, at maaring habit na nangyayari sa iyong buhay. So, persist in focused mortification. And my last doctrinal practical insight is pattern on future glorification. So, nandyan yung first coming, second coming structure sa ating pagtingin sa kabanalan. And glorification is the consummation of holiness in the second coming. And that's when it all becomes consummate in sinlessness, in glory, in the reality of graces as we continue our life for eternity in the second coming of Jesus Christ. We have this in 1 John 2:3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Pansinin yung ginamit ni Juan, yung inaabangan natin na mangyayaring kasakdalan. At kung meron tayong ganung pag-asa, ngayon pa lamang ay nagkakaroon na ng pagsisikap sa pagpapakabanal. Does despair for continuing sin in this life produces a yearning for glory? Yan ang tandaan natin. Despair is not despair for its own sake. You despair for continuing sin in this life in order to produce a yearning for glory of sinlessness. So hope of sinless glory gives balance on struggle now and future triumph. Again, first coming, second coming, we are in the interim, we are in the middle. That's why we're struggling still, but we have the hope of future triumph. Therefore, even now, we desire to deal with sin. We ought not to sin, even if we can't stop sinning. We are looking for a time when we can be finally in the second coming of Christ sinless. Kung meron tayong ganyang tamang balanse na masasagot natin ng may tamang pag-iisip, ang why can't I stop sinning? Ang tamang pag-iisip ay I live in the interim of what Christ has accomplished in the first coming and what is yet to be consummated in the second coming. Kaya binibigyan niya ng tamang pananaw mula sa unang pagparito at sa ikalawang pagparito ng Panginoon, at magdudulot ito ng tamang saloobin, I will pursue holiness now which I already have. but never be satisfied with my level of sinfulness, and because sin will always be present, I yearn for the return of my Lord. Yan ang tamang pananaw. Nagpapakabanal, ngunit inaamin niya at namamalaya ng pagpapatuloy pa rin ng kasalanan at hindi niya gusto yon, kundi nananabik siya sa pagkakasakdal kay Hesukristo. Ang maling pag-iisip, dala ng nananatiling kasalanan, maaaring tama doctrinally ang sabihin niyang, I have been forgiven all my sins. And even though I am still sinning, I should not be doubtful of my forgiveness that is complete. Basically correct, but it often leads to this complacent attitude. I will not take seriously the issue of sin because I am not meant to be perfect in this life. Pansinin niyo ang kanyang sinasabi ay, wala namang magiging perfecto, kaya hindi ako dapat maging mabahala sa mga kasalanan na nangyayari pa rin sa aking buhay sa halip na humanap ng paraan na ito'y labanan niya, patayin kung hanggat binibigyan siya ng pagkakataon na labanan ng kanyang kasalanan, ay nagwawalang bahala na lamang. Tanggalin natin ang ganyang saloobin sa halip, be balanced in the imperative of not sinning and the reality of struggle with sin. Sa mga bagay na yan ay napakahalaga na malaman natin ang tamang balanse ng the imperative of not sinning, yet we live with the reality of struggling with sin. At sana nga ay maging tama ang ating paghawak sa dalawang panig na yan. Huwag ang isa na nawala ang ikalawa, kundi nandoon ang imperative, nandoon ang reality. Sa mga susunod ay titingnan natin ang kahulugan nito sa mga praktikal na paraan, especially when it comes to the habit of sinning. Ngunit tanggapin natin ang dalawang katotohanan na ito sa tamang balanse, at dyan magkakaroon ng tama rin na direksyon ang ating kabanalan. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang, at muli pagpalain kayo mula sa pag-ibig ng Ama, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesu Cristo, at sa pakikipisan ng banal na Espiritu.